Happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint and do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. I'm grateful that you've taken the opportunity to be with us today to begin your day, or even at some point in the day, to consider God's Word and to pray, especially as we started this brand new series called Forgiven this past week. And the big idea for the series is that forgiveness becomes possible when forgiveness becomes personal. And we just have so many questions about forgiveness. Like, do I have to forgive, or do I choose to forgive, or is it both? If God knows how much I was hurt, why would he command us to forgive? Do I have to forgive someone who's not apologetic, or maybe even oblivious to the problem, or the fact that there is a problem? What if the person who has offended me is no longer alive? Or if they are alive, does forgiveness mean reconciliation? Is for forgiving and forgetting the same thing? I mean, just endless numbers of questions. And in looking at this parable, we really framed it in Simon Peter's question to Jesus, which comes right before the parable where, you know, Peter says, "Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother if he sins against me? As many as seven times." Now, Simon Peter knew that tradition, Hebrew tradition, was you had to forgive three times. So he thinks, if I double it and add one, Jesus is going to think I'm real spiritual. And Jesus comes back and says, no, not seven, but I'm telling you 77. And this is an undoing of Genesis 4, right? You know, whenever Cain murders Abel and is kicked out of the garden, certainly it would have been a distant relative of his in some form or fashion, a guy named Lamech. Lamech comes along and says, look, if Cain earned a sevenfold punishment, I'm going to get a 77-fold punishment. In other words, Lamech, he kind of codified this human lack of forgiveness with this principle that said, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you worse. He invited God's wrath, 77 times, in thinking about comparing himself to Cain. And really, that's just a way of saying it's innumerable. And so when we look at the story, when we look at the parable, and there's this king, right, who he's going to settle up his accounts. And when he settles up his accounts, you realize, okay, earthly forgiveness is really anchored in the heavenly economy of grace. Right, he had a guy who owes him 10,000 talents, and talents really wasn't money. Talents was a weight, like pounds or ounces. Now, a denarius, that was a coin, right? That coin represented one day's wages. But 6,000 denarii, 6,000 days' wages, weighed about one talent. So 10,000 talents, I mean, you're looking at as much as, 60 million days' wages. Right? It's an innumerable sum. It's like when we step on a scale, right? Every pound is counted. And when this guy's debt, and this guy's probably a satrap, a government leader, a kind of an under boss or a vassal king to the ultimate king, he's called a satrap in some cases. You know, there were just no public funds that made up for this. So the king would have had to absorb the loss. Has this satrap, has he mismanaged, Caesar's money, or was it corruption or whatever? Because there's no public money. It's all Caesar's. It's all Caesar's money. And, so when the king said, hey, look, we're going to sell you and your family into slavery because of the enormous weight of your debt, what you realize, I mean, this guy throws himself on the king's mercy. He says, I will repay you everything. That's a lie. He'll never repay that amount of money. And it says, out of pity, the master released him. Now, that would have been a twist in the story because that would have never happened in their culture. What's interesting is there are two words that are used simultaneously in the Greek language for forgiveness, and both of them are used in that one verse, right? He released the servant. That's the word apoluo, to release. But it says, because he forgave, and that's the word aphiemi. And aphiemi is the word that's used more often in the New Testament for forgiveness, but it has the idea of suffering. So the idea is that the king suffered the debt. He took on the debt and then releases the debtor. And so we have to understand that forgiveness won't rightly function in our lives disconnected right? From what we see in the king's suffering. So in other words, in this economy of the parable, there's grace. And man, Ephesians 2 tells us so much about the grace of God, right? This grace gift that God has given to us. And in verses 5 and 6, it tells us three great things that grace does for us. It says it made us alive together with Christ. It raised us up with him, and it seated us in the heavenly places. All three of those words begin with the prefix S-Y-N, where we get our idea right for the synonymous. Like, these are three synonymous ideas, all of them in the past tense. When you've come to know Christ, right, you've crossed from death to life. You have been made alive with Christ. And then you are raised up with him. So when he was resurrected, you were resurrected. And then you are seated with him in heavenly places. And you're going to say to me, but Dean, I mean, maybe the first one, I'm made alive spiritually. Okay. Raised us. I see that, even though death is still out in front of me. But the seated, I mean, I don't know, Dean, if you've looked around at this world or not, but I don't feel like I'm seated in the heavenlies. And that's because there's a difference between our literal standing and our legal standing, right? My literal geography is Delaware County, but my legal eternity, my real home, is reserved seating and assignment at the table with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's more certain than the certainty that you're listening to me even right now, that I am as delighted in by my Heavenly Father as much as he delights in Jesus. Legally, I'm already resurrected. I'm an heir of all that belongs to my Savior, right? When someone dies, they leave all their worldly goods to others, children, family, others. But when I die, I don't lose. I gain, because I am co-heir with Christ. That's what Romans 8:17 says. So if I'm united with Christ in his life, and here's the downside, he is united with me in my death. And it brings across this idea that we talked about: the king absorbed the cost. The king took on the hope void. That Jesus, he dies physically, yes, but it's not just that. It's not just the torture of the Romans. There was a spiritual side to the crucifixion as well, because he doesn't cry from the cross, my hands, or my feet. He cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took on the isolation, the loneliness of sin. He took on the hope void, abandoned to die spiritually. And so the value that we place on the grace of the King is directly related to the weight, the price of sin that has been taken from us, and the eternal inheritance that's given to us. You see it? Forgiveness is only possible when forgiveness becomes personal. Without that, sustained forgiveness, letting things go, it's the only thing that's going to reverse the Lamech code. So, have you ever experienced the grace of God that humbles you and brings you into a relationship with Christ? And are you experiencing the grace of God on a daily basis, so big that you know you could never repay it, which makes it easier, so much more simple to begin to think about giving that out to others? I'm going to pray that into our day and then give you the opportunity to pray. Jesus, we are so grateful for your grace, the kind that is a free gift, the kind that we could not earn, the kind that we cannot boast, we cannot brag about. We receive it from you, and when we get it and when we live in it, Lord, I pray that's what we do today. That we're just applying grace, that it's the grace that humbles us. It's the grace that we apply in our relationships with one another. I pray, God, that you'll help us to live in this kind of forgiving ecosystem where it makes sense to us because of the magnitude of what we've been forgiven from. Now you take the opportunity to pray.